Good morning, Emmanuel, and a very warm welcome to you all, especially any who are visitors for the first time. Please make yourself known to us, by to myself or to the vicar, after today's service, and by signing the visitor's book located in the church porch. A warm hello to those listening by the Tate Ministry at home, hoping that you feel part of the Emmanuel family. The service today has been led by our Minister, the Reverend Robert Jordan, and we look forward to hearing your message to us, Robert. There are no extra notes except those already listed in the weekly news, but I would like to remind the congregation that there will be a church meeting after today's service. The reader today is Stephen Brain, and I will now light the Christ candle, after which we will have a moment's reflection before the start of the day's service. Thank you.
Good morning and hello to you all. Welcome to our service this morning, second Sunday of Lent. We gather for worship as part of God's family here, together with the churches of the Old Town Partnership of Churches and with the family of God in every corner of this earth. Just to let you know that yesterday morning we had the Southwestern Synod meeting, the 99th Synod meeting. That means to say that the October will be the 100th Synod meeting, which coincides with 2 a year, 50 years, more or less, they're running in sync. It was an interesting meeting, a very interesting meeting, and I was very moved because there was a presentation by Roy Lowes, who some of you will still remember, and he led the opening worship, and Roy was absolutely fantastic yesterday leading the worship, and it was good to see about 60 people attending the Synod meeting yesterday, and it was good, and just wanted to let you know that we met and it was a good meeting. Because we could have met and it could have been an awful meeting and it would have affected our life as a church one way or another. But it was a good meeting. And we thank God for the work that goes on in the Southwestern Synod. The psalm for today with which we begin our service is Psalm 27. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Amen. May this be our request, our assurance, even if at times we find it difficult to grab hold of. But these are words that have led the people of God for many, many centuries and will continue to do so. I am confident I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We sing from Rejoice and Sing to this same God, and it is the same prayer. Bless and keep us, Lord, in your love united, from your family never separated. You make all things new. Hymn 471. As we have been doing for the last few weeks, we will now light the peace candle. The candle we light initially because of the war going on in Ukraine, but also a reminder of the conflicts and tensions and hatred and persecution of people in so many other places. The hymn we've just sung in verse 3 says, "Fill your world with peace, such as you intended." So we light the candle today for Ukraine, for the people of Ukraine, for the people of Russia, for the people of Yemen, for the people of Syria, for the people of Somalia, for the people in Palestine and all those parts of the world which often don't make the headlines, where there is fear and death and destruction. O Lord, peace is your will. We pray for that peace. Amen. I invite you now to join in these moments of prayer, which we will end sharing the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Lighting that candle, dear God, focuses our attention on so much, so overwhelming, so difficult to grasp. In this time, this brief silence, help us to focus our mind, our hearts, our thoughts for this time of prayer. We come before you. How to pray, dear God, in times of war, hatred, and destruction? We are here, grateful, because we don't have to live in that fear. But how to pray, dear God, in times of fake news, where so much is said, so contradictory, that we find it hard to determine what is true and what is a lie. How to pray, dear God, in times of lack of trust, of breaking down of confidence in influencers, in leaders, in communicators. How to pray, dear God, and yet we are here. Your people gathered here and in so many places around the world praying. And in our prayer, we recognize our limitations. What can we do? But not in lack of confidence, but recognizing that we are overwhelmed. What can we do? But we pray to you. We pray to you, Creator. We pray to you, the one we call Father. We pray to you, as the choir sang in the introit, of forgiveness. We pray to you who has lifted up over the centuries women and men who have reminded us to walk in faith even when all around seems to collapse. Because you are the God who will not give up. We pray to you. Even our questions and our doubts, bringing our despair and yes, we pray to you. Yes, we have questions. Yes, we have doubts. Yes, we are human. Because that's how you made us. But we also have received the gift of faith and hope. So in what seems and truly is an unstable world, we are here and we are praying to you. We give you thanks for those who remind us of peace, of justice, of love, those who serve, truly serving those who have shown themselves to be generous and kind, those who have called out lies, those who remind us time and time again that you are the Lord of life. O Lord, forgive us when it is easier to give up on prayer. Forgive us when we don't bring our brokenness to you. Forgive us, O Lord, because we do have faith, but sometimes we have little faith. And in your love, call us by your name, by our name, reminding of us of who you are. I am always present. Lead us on the journey. Lead us through destruction and bring us to the values of the kingdom lived on this earth now. Heal us, restore us, forgive us, and make us new. And as your children, we come and we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As part of our walking of faith and sharing what we have received, we will now receive the offering. The offering we present, what we give in the plate and what we give in different ways, O Lord. Receive it. Transform it so it is part of what makes this world the better world you want. Together with the retiring collection for the Fund for Ukraine, that all that we have, all that we do, all that we say, all that we are, may be to the honor and glory of your name. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. evermore. Amen.
Thank you. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. And those of you who wish to follow it, you can find it on page 73 of the Bibles in the pews, page 73. It's St. Luke chapter 13, and I'm reading from verse 31. Before I begin, I'm going to say that I read through this yesterday, as a good reader does to prepare beforehand. And it struck me that I'd never read these few verses. It's a real confession, but it was an eye-opener. I found it really enigmatic. The image there is totally startling, I think. But I better not say any more because I will be treading on Robert's toes. St. Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem." Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God.
Thank you, Stephen. I hope some of the questions are answered. Before the anthem, Jeff wants to give us an introduction to the anthem.
Thank you very much indeed, Robert. We very, very rarely give an introduction to the anthem, but I have to say, I think the Holy Spirit was moving at practice 2 days ago, I really do, because the choir only really learned the anthem that you're now going to listen on Friday. But we all agreed that the words and the music, written by a man called Geoffrey Nobes, he's a contemporary composer, seem to be very, very appropriate given the present situation in our world. And we don't often then deliver all the words of the anthem, but they're not many. The title that Geoffrey Nobes gives to the anthem is "Your Gentle Healing." And the words of this particular anthem, which I think surely many people throughout our troubled world would want to utter at this time, really, really, to me, and I think to the choir on Friday, meant something. "In time of darkness, be my light. In time of blindness, be my sight. In time of loss, be at my side. In time of danger, be my guide. The dark is light when you are near. The path is sure. My way is clear. Your presence flows into my soul. Your gentle healing makes me whole. In time of loss, be at my side. In time of danger, be my guide.
Thank you very much. That was truly beautiful, and the music is part of the story it tells, and thank you. After Steve's introduction, I feel a certain weight on my shoulders now. Let us pray. Living mystery, whose way is not ours, whose name cannot be bought or sold, lead us from justice without compassion and sacrifice without mercy to a love which nurtures grace without price, through Jesus Christ, the true bread. Amen. There are two instances that I want to draw your attention to today. The first is the thought of for the week in the Weekly News. Words by Coretta Scott King. The greatness of a community is most accurately measured by the compassionate action of its members. The greatness of a community is measured by the compassionate action of its members. And we are all parts of different communities. We share some, the church community. But where we live and what we do, there are other communities. If you come in just as an experiment during a whole week to the church building, you will encounter smaller communities, some very noisy. When was it on Thursday? They were hitting away, fixing chairs and pulling out springs and putting new fabric on the chairs as they worked in that course. And it was wonderful. I had to leave a letter in the parlour, and they didn't even hear me come in or out because they were so engrossed in it. Then you have that moment of sitting down, sharing a cup of tea. The excuse was they'd been played badminton, but that was the excuse. It's the coming together, it's the laughing, it's the cup of tea, the dance group. And now I've come two or three times in the last few weeks, and there's a mother with two of her little children. And the first time they saw me, they ran a mile. I wondered why. Now they just sit there and laugh. Great! I've been entering their community. And it's the community of your own life in your own neighborhood, the things that you do. The possibility of being compassionate as a sign of God's grace. I believe that in a way that phrase sums up a bit of the meaning of the reading from Luke today. And the theme of the readings for this morning and this evening will be that of compassion and confidence in God. And in the words of Psalm 27, wait for the Lord. It is not to sit back and say, okay, get on with it, God. I'm here if you need me, but you do your part and let me enjoy it. And God looks at us and says, you've got it all wrong. I'm not going to do this without you. You are part of it. So our waiting in God is an active wait, a wait where we work and wait together. God is doing. God is interested. God is involved. Even as in lighting that candle and in the prayer, it may seem sometimes far away. The reality is God is doing things. And what better image than the illustration you have in the week news today? And those who get a copy of my reflection will have it on the top page as well. That hen, chicken, and all you see under her wings are tiny little legs. Do you know, in the Bible, this is the only image where Jesus presents himself in the feminine. How I would like to be that chicken that opens its wings and you find refuge in. It's not very often that he talks of himself in those ways, but it is the most comforting of image. In one of the houses we lived, my grandmother lived, and we had chickens in the back garden. And that was Granny's job. But I used to like helping her. The eggs were always a mystery because they'd lay the eggs usually in the same place. So one day, I must have been not more than eight, I was helping. And there was this little hole in the ground that just fitted the size of the chicken. And I went and took some seed there and put it there to make it easier for her not to have to look all around the place. She didn't think something I should be doing. I can still feel the peck on my back. You get out of here, she was saying. This is not your domain. This is my domain. Possessive, caring, protective. This is what Jesus is trying to say. Yes, you may try to bring some sort of food, but let me deal with it. The first step, and we have four steps on this journey today. The first step, against all expectations, some Pharisees turn to Jesus and say, get out, your life is in danger. Herod is after you. For some reason, we seem to group all Pharisees together. They're the ones who are always against him. And this reading says, do you know what? There are some Pharisees, some of them, who, against all our ideas, have found in Jesus something different. They recognize him as bringing a word that they haven't seen or heard, something worth protecting. So they say to him, "Go. This is not a safe place for you." So this brings up the first challenge for us. Let's be careful. Not everybody is what they seem to be. And sometimes it's not good to group everybody together, because sometimes we may be grouped in a group that we would prefer not to be. So not all Pharisees were evil. I'd say most of them, but this reading alone says, be careful. Is it all? Have we met all? All people are. Have we met them all to be able to say all? Or can we say most of them, some of them? All people that go to church are. Well, yes, there are some that are, but there are others who aren't, whatever they are. The second step, Jesus listens to these Pharisees, and he has a response, but not to the Pharisees, to Herod himself. Tell that fox, tell him. Not fox because he was cunning, but because he was bloodthirsty. You may want to get rid of me, but I have a mission. One which, in spite of you, I will publicly keep doing. Today, tomorrow, and the next day. Today, tomorrow, and the next day. And you will find me on the road doing it, says Jesus. So there's no hidden here. There is nothing that he has to hide to look for me. I'm here. So the second challenge we have in this reading, there will be opposition. There will be people who don't like what we do in the name of God. We must be aware of this. But also we must have a clarity of what our calling and mission is. And there are people who deserve to hear the words, "Tell that fox." The third step. Jesus affirms his confidence in God, as we discover in the final words of this passage. They're taken from Psalm 118, which again we will hear in a few weeks' time when Jesus enters Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In that psalm, we discover of Jesus' confidence. In verse 18, we read, "With the Lord on my side, I..." Or going back to Psalm 27, which opened our worship today, "I am still confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Do we really believe that? Does it make a difference? Is it a source of confidence when there is so much around us which is not good? But do we believe that God is the source of our faith, of our hope, and that we can trust? So that's our third challenge. Can we believe hope against all hope in spite of darkness? And Jeff spoke about darkness just now in that hymn. In spite of all, can we believe that God's plans for us are plans of life and not death? And that all that is death intentionally caused is not part of God's will, no matter what people say? Can we trust and have confidence when all that we have built up in our faith seems to have collapsed? Or will we come through with a more mature faith, one that is capable of living with difficulties? The Jesus that says this is already, this is chapter 13. Since chapter 9, end of chapter 9, he has been walking towards Jerusalem, which means the cross. "I have a mission to do today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow. It will come to an end, And we who have read the gospel know how it will come to an end. That's why we're in Lent. We're heading towards that. But we're not heading to Easter Friday. We're heading to Sunday and the Monday afterwards, the resurrection. And finally, the fourth step. Jesus' wonderfully hope-filled statement. How often have I desired to gather the children together as the hen gathers her brood. Go back to that drawing. Go back to that photograph. Open the wings. But Jesus also has experience. And he adds to these words, yet not all were willing. How long have I wished and hoped for to gather you all, and yet not all were willing. Jesus knows that not everybody will say yes. He talks about that time and time again in the gospel. And one thing I didn't know, but I found out this week, is chickens don't go hunting for their chicks. They sit there, open up their wings, and the chicks have to go towards them. And the logic of that is, if she's going to run after each one, there are no chicks under her wings protected. So she sits there, opens her wings, and says, here I am, come. And what they were saying in these comments is that what the fox knows is the chick that says, I don't need to, I'm a big little chick, I'll do what I want, is the first victim of the fox. But the fox will not dare get close to the mother hen who's got the chicks under her wings. She will peck your back if you try to do anything, as I found out. It happened when I was 8, 67. It's been with me for 60 years nearly, and I haven't forgotten it. It hurts. They don't go gathering their chicks for protection. The chicks have to decide where protection lies and go. The challenge then is for us to live our active confidence and turn to that safe place, because there will be space if we decide to go for it. So the whole situation I sum up in that photograph. Those little feet feel protected under the mother's wings. They know they can run there, and there will be a place for them. The more the merrier, I don't know. I can't imagine, if you look at it, how many little feet there are there, struggling to say, I'm the favorite. No, you get out of the way. I'm the favorite. Kids always want to know who the favorite is, and it will continue until the end. Come on, tell me, who's the favorite, Luana or Myra? I get that. They're both reaching their 30s and they still want to know who's my favorite. I haven't told them yet. But the chicks, all there, wanting that special place. It's not a place of harmony. It's not a place of, oh, aren't we lucky we're all here? But it's a place of security. And that chicken, with all the little ones under her wings, reminded me of the photographs of the tube stations in Kyiv and the big cities of Ukraine. And it reminds me of the photographs I've seen of what happened in the tube stations during World War II. They were the places, not comfortable, cold, hard, tough, but where there was a sense of security, of which at one day people were able to come out. The greatness of a community is most accurately measured by the compassionate actions of its members. I pray for us as church to be that compassionate place where people will find a welcome, healing, kindness, time, and know that they are loved. I'm not going to say we are a perfect community. We're probably like the kids under the mother's wings. We want to know who's the favorite. We can always say, I got here before you did. And we can say all that bunch of things that we can say. But we say it under the protection of the gathered community in the wings. Following Jesus' words, we must strive to become a place of compassion for the community. But we can't force people to want to find it. But they must know that we are here. That every community we're involved in is one characterized by that sense of compassion. To know that we are here, they have to hear about us. They have to know we are here. They have to test the waters. They will probably go and seek for other places, and some of them may come back. They have to trust our welcoming, our openness, our love. And this is what we are facing on this journey of Lent, the journey of life as it continues. And I must admit, to any of you who were able to follow it, we began to talk about that at the Lent studies last Tuesday at Bath Road. In a roundabout way, what gives us an identity? Who are we? It's a question we will have to answer. And I think in the reading today, we find a clue of where we can go. May God guide us on this journey. Amen. Hymn 200. The kingdom of God is justice and joy, for Jesus restores what sin would destroy. Before our prayers of intercession, I've been particularly asked to bring to you the information that Joe Tooth is in hospital, very weak. His children are visiting now, and that's perked him up a little bit, but to pray for him in the health that he is going through. And just to remind you, as it was announced at the beginning of the service, immediately at the end of the service, we will hold a church meeting. The agenda is not incredibly long, but it has a few points that need to be dealt with. So if you can stay, you will be welcome. If you have a good reason not to stay, well, we'll try and forgive you. No, we will, don't worry. But we will want to know the reason why. So our church meeting immediately, and we will hold these and other things in our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Dear God, we've just heard you wept over Jerusalem. So we bring before you and weep for those who have no home, for those who have been sleeping in the street. Tonight, for those that are seeking a way forward and a way out of those issues, for those whose blankets are just a pile of old newspapers, you wept over Jerusalem and said it was a place where prophets were killed and stoned. And we weep for those who seek peace, for those who flee war, for those seeking a new home and where the doors are slammed shut in their face, for those world refugees and migrants who live in fear. Dear Jesus, you wept over Jerusalem, and we weep for those who care for our health, who work in hospitals and health centers, and who are struggling to cope, for patients whose appointments for treatment are constantly cancelled or on long waiting lists, and for those who have the power to change things, but sometimes choose not to. You wept over Jerusalem, and we weep for those who cannot live with the income of their jobs, who have to seek two or three jobs to be able to get enough to live on, for those who despair of their energy bills going sky high, for those that don't even get paid the living wage, and for those caught up in the trap of zero-hour contracts. O Lord, we weep, and we pray that our weeping may not be just weeping, but move us to action. O Lord, as you wept over Jerusalem that killed the prophets and the people that spoke your word, we pray for the church today. Our church, the Old Town Partnership of Churches, the churches in the country, the churches in the world. Give us words of courage, of conviction, to seek your will and question through your will what should be changed. We pray for those we love, those we know who are struggling, those we forget about. And in this silence, we bring their names to you. And finally, O Lord, we pray for ourselves, for our tears, for our fears, our brokenness, for all that hurts us, and for the hurt we may have caused others. Lord, we bring our cries, our tears, and our hopes to you. You wept and still weep, but in your tears, you also give us hope. Into your hands, O Lord, our prayer this day. Amen. And our final hymn, which reminds us of something we can often forget. We are your people, God. Lord, by your grace, you dare to make us Christ to our neighbors of every nation and race. Hymn 483. That there is a place of refuge, but also knowing that we will have to then come out. If we are like the chicks who all you can see are our little legs, that's fine. But God wants to see us also walking the paths of life, trusting, caring, and loving. So go in peace. Be creators of peace. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, sustain you, guide you, and remind you and all how much you are loved. In that peace of God, go and live, go and trust, go and love. Amen.